This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
KGST, Fresno, 1600 AM.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome to another edition of the Portuguese American Hour. I am Justice Neves. With me, as always, Dennis Borges, here for our daily dose of the Portuguese American Hour.
The Portuguese American Hour, that's right. I was going to do the second voice on that one. Here we go. here we are. Welcome, each and every one of you, to another exciting edition of this program that is here on Multicultural Radio, KGST, AM 1600, Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. Please tell your friends. Please tell your friends, not just those in the valley, because obviously those who can listen on regular AM radio in Fresno, north of us in Madeira and Merced County, south of us in Tulare and Kings Counties, but also those who live in different parts of the states or even different parts of other states in the Union and different parts of the world online, www.multicultural1600am.com or on any radio app, including the KGST radio app that you can download to your phone and listen to us anywhere in the world. We are going to have another exciting episode of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at Fresno State. The Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute is doing lots of different events this semester. This is our anniversary coming up. This is our anniversary time. So lots and lots of different events, including something coming up on the 19th that we'll talk about at the end of today's edition of the Portuguese American Hour. But for now, we're going to go to a song. Before we do that, just let you know some of the segments we're going to have today. We're going to, both in this first segment and the second segment, we're going to spend some time talking about something that I get a lot of phone calls, as some of our listeners know. I also have the responsibility of being the honorary consul of Portugal in Tulare, and I mean just that, responsibility, because there's no pay. And so it's just another free-for-all. And so I get lots of emails and lots of calls about different topics having to do with the Portuguese community in Portugal. But one of the most asked question is because of Portuguese citizenship. People who are sons and daughters of immigrants, or people who are grandchildren of immigrants. So if your parents came over from Portugal, mainland Portugal, the Azores Islands or Madeira, or if it were your grandparents that were immigrants, you can apply. You can be a Portuguese citizen. Actually, Portugal is thinking about even going beyond that to someday maybe even include great grandparents were immigrants. So there's lots of different questions. It's you know, anything in the world is bureaucratic nowadays, and so there's a long bureaucracy, but we are going to spend some time on that, and we'll hopefully answer some questions for those of you who may have any questions about that. You can actually even call us if you want to at 559-499-1600 and ask any question that you may have. Other than the question that if you have submitted your forms and it's been a year and you haven't heard back, I can't help with that, because it is taking a long time. But if you have any other questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them for you here on the Portuguese American Hour at 559-499-1600. Whether it's on the year or if you just like to ask when something else is going on, or you can get a hold of me. But so our first and second segment, other than our musical break, will be dedicated to this important topic. So if you or a friend or anyone you know is interested in Portuguese citizenship, please be listening to us for the next next 30 minutes or so as we talk about this important topic for those who are of Portuguese background here in the Valley and throughout the U.S. and anywhere outside of Portugal. We'll also have a new little segment that we're going to start called The Portuguese City. So about once a week, we're going to try to feature a little bit of a history and a little bit of to entice you to visit Portugal and some of the beautiful cities that it has. So a segment that we're going to call A Portuguese City will debut today on this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. We're going to have also our poem, our community calendar, and also a recipe. So lots of different things on this edition of the Portuguese American Hour with our musical invitee. We always try to have just one singer or one group be the invitee for the entire program. Today is our very good friend Emily. Emily Pontes, who has been here live for one full hour dedicated to Emily. She will be our invitee as far as the songs are concerned. The first song that we're going to play is exactly from Emily's last album, and it is called Pois É, Pois É, O Mexerico, or Yeah, 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 The Gossip. We all have that one aunt or that one cousin or that one family member, or I'm not going to be gender biased here. It can be that uncle or that boy cousin, not just a girl cousin.
If you're not sure who it is, it's probably you.
That's right. We always have that one person that loves the gossip. And so it's a fun song about gossiping. Pois é, pois é, o mexerico. Here's Emily.
Ela veio à minha casa como um pássaro a arrastar asa, vinha cansada a correr. Abri a porta e disse: entra vizinha, tive toda pobrezinha. Perguntei o que passou e ela disse: eu não vim para me checar, eu só vim para contar o que outra vizinha contou. Pois é, o mexerico é assim, quem me vai contar a mim? Já foi aos outros contar, não vale a pena levar daqui para ali. Até já de me ouvir. Pois é, pois é, ai tanto mexericar. Dizia ela que o vizinho do lado estava todo namorado com alguém no Facebook. Não sei dizer se é homem ou mulher, respeito o que ela quiser, pois só vim falar um pouco. E a filha daquela outra vizinha está à espera, coitadinha, diz não sabe quem é o pai. Ai, de certeza que ela deve de saber. E se ela não souber, porque tem outro já, já. Pois é, o mexerico é assim, quem me vem contar a mim? Já foi aos outros contar, não vale a pena levar daqui para ali. Até já de mim ouvir. Pois é, ai tanto mexericar. E agora amiga, isto fica por aqui, só te vim contar a ti. As paredes ouvidos estão, o que eu te disse, fica entre nós as duas. Não gosto de andar pelas ruas a falar de ninguém. Pois é, o mexerico é assim, quem me vem contar a mim? Já foi aos outros contar, não vale a pena levar daqui para ali. Até já de mim ouvir. Pois é, ai tanto mexericar. Pois é, o mexerico é assim, quem me vem contar a mim? Já foi aos outros contar, não vale a pena levar daqui para ali. Até já de mim ouvir. Pois é, ai tanto mexericar. Já de mim ouvir. Pois é, ai tanto mexericar. Pois é, o mexerico é assim, quem me vai contar a mim? Já foi aos outros contar, não vale a pena levar daqui para ali. Até já de mim ouvir. Pois é, ai tanto mexericar.
And here we are. That was Emily Pontes, who was our guest here a few weeks ago in the Portuguese American Hour, and who will be our musical guest for this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. And we listen to her song, Pois é, o Machirico. Yeah, the gossip. Okay, so let us talk a little bit in this first segment, in the second segment as well, about Portuguese citizenship. For, first of all, on this segment, we're going to tackle for children of Portuguese parents. So here's an example. If you are a Portuguese citizen and your child was born in the U.S. and has, of course, American citizenship, and your child is under 18 years old and you want your child to become Portuguese, what do you do? Okay, so if it's a child that's less than 18, both parents need, of course, to get involved in this. And this segment is free of charge, this part. So the documents you need are a certified, that is, copy of your child's birth certificate, a copy of your child's U.S. passport or another valid picture ID document, a copy of the birth certificate of both parents. Okay, so you need to show that you a copy of your birth certificates. If one or both parents are Portuguese, birth certificates for both or valid Portuguese ID documents. If you do not have any of these documents, you need to be able to provide the full name and date of the birth of the Portuguese parents to allow, obviously, if someone's helping you to get this information. If not, you do need to get it, of course, before you proceed. A certified copy of your marriage certificate, if applicable, if the marriage took place in Portugal, then you can get it from there. If the marriage took place here, if you were married here and your kids were born here, then it has to be a certified copy from here. Also, if the marriage took place in the U.S., it's mandatory that the marriage be registered in the Portuguese registry civil system. So to do that, it's required that the U.S. marriage certificate, the registration of a foreign marriage in the Portuguese civil registry system, has a separate cost for this. So in other words, if you have a child who is less than 18 and you want that child to become a Portuguese citizen, to have his or her dual citizenship, they obviously do not lose the American citizenship, then the first thing, if you were married in Portugal, that's fine. You can just get the marriage certificate from there, along with all the documents I mentioned. But if you were married here in the States, okay, if you were a Portuguese citizen, but you came here at an early age and you married here, then you need to get that marriage certificate certified here in the States. How do you do that? Okay, this is the hard part about it here for California and throughout the United States now. The only way that the Portuguese government takes these certificates or these documents and has them validated is they have to have something called an apostille. An apostille is something that only the state secretary of state can do it. So in other words, you must go to Sacramento, and it's good that you have all your documents so you can get it done at one time, so you don't have to go to Sacramento often. So, in other words, if your child's birth certificate, the passport, and also your marriage certificate, they need to have an apostille. They take these documents to the Secretary of State. They do this. This is an international agreement between most countries of the world. And then that apostille is an annex to, of course, your document, and it basically then validifies the document for the Portuguese government. Okay. If you then all of this, of course, there's an application form that you fill out, and it can actually be sent directly to Portugal, or you can make an appointment and take it to directly present to the consulate of Portugal in San Francisco. Unfortunately, honorary consuls such as myself and my colleagues Paulo Menezes in Artesia and Southern California LA area, and Idalmiro de Rosa, who was our guest here a few weeks ago from San Diego, we cannot validate any of those forms. Another example, if you are an American citizen and you're 18 years of age or older, and both of your parents have Portuguese citizenship, both of them were born in Portugal, and you want to obtain your citizenship. So in other words, if you're an adult and you want to get your Portuguese citizenship, well, this is what you need. You need a certified copy of your U.S. birth certificate, Again, when I mean certified through that apostille, you need a copy of your passport or other valid picture document. You need a copy of your, you need a, when I mean copy, the original, not just a photocopy of it. So an original birth certificate of both your parents, and if they're obviously born in Portugal, it has to come from there. And then you have to have their marriage certificate. So, but if their marriage was done here in the United States, it has to be recognized in Portugal first. So the best, the first thing is if you are a Portuguese American whose parents were born in Portugal, and you were born here, and you want to have your Portuguese citizenship as well as your U.S. citizenship, then the first thing that you need to do is ask your parents to get their marriage certificate, if they were married here in the States, recognized in Portugal, to get their marriage recognized in Portugal. It makes things a lot easier. Once you have that document, then take all of the other documents that I mentioned. Make sure they you have the apostilles from the Secretary of State. You can go online to the Portuguese website of the Consulate of Portugal in San Francisco, and you can download the application. You can print it. You can fill it in. And then, of course, get all of your documents together. But it is a must that you understand that if any of these documents reach Portugal and they're not the way they're supposed to be, in other words, if you send them your birth certificate without the apostille, if you send your parents' marriage certificate if they were married here without the apostille, if you send any document that is not done, unfortunately, what has happened is it's not automatically sent back. It just sits in someone's office, or it sits there in a little pile of incomplete, and they go through all the complete ones first, and then when they get to you, they send it back to you. So it takes a process. Even if all the documents are there, even if all the documents are right, do expect a long delay. When Portugal authorized this a few years ago, they thought there were going to be maybe a few thousand. Well, it's literally in the tens of thousands, and especially from the U.S. and especially from Canada as well, but especially from the U.S. The numbers of the number of people wanting to get Portuguese citizenship in the U.S. has dramatically increased in the last few years. So that means, but not just from the U.S., not just from Canada, but we're talking about Portuguese in the world. There are people, you know, from Australia, from South America, from Brazil, who immigrated to Brazil, or their parents, and also, obviously, from the various different parts of the world, other than the European countries, because in Europe, of course, if you're a citizen of Portugal, you're a European citizen. If you're part of the European Union, and Portugal is part of the European Union, so if you're a Portuguese citizen, you can go anywhere with the. And it's almost like if you're a Californian and you can go to work in Arizona or Texas or any anywhere else. So the information we gave you on this part is if those who are of Portuguese background, if it was a parent, okay, or parents, it can be just one or both, were immigrants from the Azores, from mainland Portugal, from the Madeira Islands, from any Portuguese, of course, area, Portuguese territory. That's mainland Portugal, the Azores Islands, and the Madeira Islands. These are for children of immigrants, whether they are minors or as an adult. Again, it is a long process. And right now, we have folks who have been waiting for this for anywhere between 18 to 24 months. So it can take 2 years, and in some cases, it can take a little bit longer. I actually would advise those who travel to Portugal or who are thinking of going to Portugal on vacation, I would advise them to do something else. But I'll talk about that in the second segment when we go in further into if you are a grandchild, which is the most of those who are interested nowadays, who live especially here throughout the valley. These are grandchildren of immigrants. So in other words, it was their grandfather who immigrated maybe 60 or 70 years ago, in some cases even longer than that. I have someone who I know who just basically acquired his citizenship, and it was his grandfather He's already in his 60s, so it was his grandfather who had immigrated, you know, 90-some years ago to the United States. So there is a separate law for that one and separate details on that one, and we'll focus on that on the second segment of the Portuguese American Hour, and I'll talk a little bit about why people do want this citizenship. Obviously, and there are many different reasons, one of them pride, ethnic pride, etc., but there's also some practical reasons, some very pragmatic reasons that are outside of the heart that make sense for a lot of different people when they acquire and want this citizenship. And so I know it can be a boring subject to listen to on the radio, but I thank you for listening to it because we get lots of calls, and one of our listeners or many of our listeners may be thinking about this themselves. So on the second segment, in just about a minute or so, when we come back from our first break, we will talk about exactly what can be done and what needs to be done for those who are grandchildren of Portuguese immigrants. We'll be right back with the second segment of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute from Fresno State.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour. If you missed our first segment, we were discussing how to gain your citizenship, dual citizenship, correct?
Correct, yeah.
In Portugal, yeah. If you're born
America,
here.
America allows it. Depends, you know, sometimes it's not like you lose your American citizenship by becoming a citizen of another country, in this case of Portugal. And there's lots of people, especially lots of my friends who are Jewish are also citizens of Israel. And so some of them, I have a couple of friends who I know who even served in the armed forces of Israel. And so that is available, of course. So if you are an American citizen and you want to get the Portuguese citizenship, we talked about if it was your parents that immigrated or if you're a parent and once you're your child to become one, your child who's under 18. If you're an adult and you want to become a citizen and it was your parents that immigrated, that's what we gave you the information on the first segment. The second segment, we're going to spend just a few minutes talking a little bit about what if it's your grandchildren? I mean, what if you're a grandchild of an immigrant? In other words, you are a American citizen. You're born in the U.S. Your parents are also U.S. citizens. So your parents are also born here in the United States. In other words, they weren't born in Portugal and then became American citizens. They're born here in the U.S. They were never Portuguese citizens. They're not Portuguese citizens. And at least one of your grandparents. So it doesn't have to be both. Okay, it doesn't have to be four or both or two. It can just be one. If you had at least one of your grandparents that was a Portuguese citizen, at least one of your four grandparents were a Portuguese citizen, and you're interested in obtaining the Portuguese citizenship, well, here's what you need to do. So, formally states to you need to sign a form. There's a form that you need to state that you really want to do this. A copy of your birth certificate, again, as I mentioned last segment. These documents, U.S. documents, must have an apostille from the Secretary of State. And here in California, the way to do that is, of course, to get it. You have to get it from the Secretary of State in Sacramento. I had a friend of mine who just submitted his a few months ago, and he actually went to Sacramento, had all his documents, did it basically really quick there, but it does take a trip up to Sacramento. A birth certificate of your Portuguese grandparents. So you want the original birth certificate. When I mean the original, obviously you may not have that, but you have to get it from Portugal. Okay, so either through someone, a service, or through someone you know there, or a friend or family member that you know. You can go online. There's also services that you can go through to get the original birth certificate of that grandparent, or if you have more than one of those grandparents. Okay. And you have to have a certified copy as well of your grandparents' marriage certificate. So if they were married in Portugal, it has to come from there. If they're married here, it has to be here with an apostille. You have to have a copy of your U.S. passport or of another valid picture ID, like a driver's license. Okay, you have to have your original criminal record certificate issued by the FBI. Also, that's actually done usually through, there's different services that you can get it. A proof of your residence in this state, usually just a driver's license, copy of that. Proof, and this is where it gets a little bit more in detail, and I would hope that they may change this. There is some legislation being considered in Portugal to change this. Proof of fluency in the Portuguese language. Okay, so how do you prove that? How do you prove that? Through three different things. Either a certificate of proficiency in Portuguese obtained through a test, which is administered by the consul. The Consul General in Portugal, San Francisco, has someone who does that. So you can contact the Consul General in Portugal, San Francisco. The best way is through email, or you can actually contact me and I can give you the email of the person who does that. It is a person who is an employee of the Portuguese government here in California. An academic certificate issued by an official Portuguese educational establishment, okay, or an academic certificate issued by an official educational establishment, private or cooperative, which is legally recognized in an official Portuguese-speaking country. So, proof of actual connection to the Portuguese local community, usually a letter, written in Portuguese. I can be more than happy to write that, or it can be by someone from a Portuguese organization talking about that they know you and they know that you're connected to the Portuguese American organization. You can, you volunteer at a Portuguese organization, or you've done some things at the Portuguese club when you were in high school or college or anything like that. There's a fee to be paid, okay, for that. And basically all of those documents, again, need to be basically all done, all certified. It can be done through the mail, or it can be taken up to San Francisco with an appointment. You must have an appointment to go to the consulate in San Francisco, the Consul General of Portugal in San Francisco, 3298 Washington Street, make an appointment. Usually it may take about 30 to 45 days. It's much, much better. Now they have quite a few employees, much more than they had about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And so there was a big waiting list. Sometimes you had to wait almost 3 months to make an appointment. Now, there's sometimes you have to wait 30 days, sometimes a little bit less. And then, of course, get all that done and make sure that you have. When you send it or when you go there this one way or another, you can send it directly to Lisbon. Obviously, do not send cash. It has to be a cashier's check to make sure, or a money order that you can get for that. And so that is for those folks who are of Portuguese ancestry, whose grandparents were immigrants, not whose parents were already born here and already American citizens. We're going to take a little bit of a musical break. So lots and lots of different talking. You're probably tired of it. I'm sure you are. So we're going to take a little bit of a musical break. And when we come back for the remaining minutes of this second segment of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at Fresno State, we will talk a little bit about, I mentioned in the last segment, if you're going to Portugal, there's a quicker way to do it. So I'll tell you a little bit about that. And I'll tell you a little bit about some of the reasons that, that some people may want to get a Portuguese citizenship, as far as not just, the ethnic pride, but also in this case, because you can have ethnic pride and not be a Portuguese citizen. I know lots and lots and lots and lots of Americans of Portuguese ancestry, lots and lots of Americans of other ancestries, Italians, Polish, etc., who are not citizens of either Portugal, Italy, or Poland, but who have lots of different pride in their ethnicity. You can do that without, of course, having that little piece of paper. That's basically what it is. And we'll talk a little bit about some of those reasons and a little bit about getting maybe a faster way if you go to Portugal. And if those of you who visit there often, or every couple of years, or every 4 or 5 years, and you're thinking about it, there may be a faster way to do it. But for first of all, we're going to listen to Emily again. She is our musical invitee, Emily Pontes, our local singer-songwriter from living in Porterville and part of the time, and part of the time also in Toronto, Canada. And she will be singing Dor de Cotovelo, which is a popular slang for someone who is kind of envious of someone else. So it's kind of in the same realm as the gossiper. Dor de Cotovelo by Emily Pontes. Thank you.
fazer uma coleta de fundo. Venho aqui para fazer um apelo. É urgente, tenho poucos segundos para uns que sofrem da dor do cotovelo. Andam para aí à procura de uma solução para essa dor, mas nunca vão achar a cura. Quanto mais dobram, mais ficam pior. Ai que dor, ai que dor, não podem suportar. Ai que dor, ai que dor, o braço está a inchar. Ai que dor, ai que dor, a inveja é mesmo assim. Quando apontas para mim, há certas coisas que se aprendem de infância. Não fazer mal e ser de bom coração. Uma delas não deve de ser arrogância, respeito aos outros e boa educação. Olha, eu acho que alguém está a dar ajuda. É mesmo bom para eles que estão a sofrer. Dar uma injeção bem aguda. Para o cotovelo não há mais nada a fazer. Ai que dor, ai que dor, não podem suportar. Ai que dor, ai que dor, o braço está a inchar. Quando apontas para mim,
and that was Emily, our friend Emily Pontes, with Dor de Cotovelo, another fun song by Emily from her last album that she just published. It was just put out. She actually presented for the very first time here about 5 weeks ago or so on the Portuguese American Hour, and we're hoping to have Emily back in another few weeks. She's going to be, we have contracted her for free of charge. We've contracted Emily to come back about at least 3 to 4 times a year. I think it'd be fun to have her talk about her career and where it's going and some of the interesting things that she is doing. On this second segment of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University of Fresno, thanks to all of you for joining us. Join us every single weekday from 4 to 5 p.m. The Portuguese American Hour is a new way to know everything that is related to Portuguese, to Portuguese culture, to Portugal, to a little bit of Portuguese history, and, of course, to know a little bit also about everything that is related to the Portuguese American experience. Experience of Portuguese American communities throughout the valley and throughout the state. Before we go to our poem of the week, which should be our last segment before we go to the next break, we've been talking about Portuguese citizenship, and we talked about some of the rules and regulations, some of the documents. As I mentioned, if you do go to Portugal, It has been in the past. That doesn't mean that it can change, but it has been known and it has happened that folks who go to Portugal and take all their documents with them, make sure that they're all ready and they're all up to date, instead of going, instead of sending it directly to Lisbon, if you take it to one of the conservatories, Registros Civis, as they're called, in one of the islands of the Azores, for those of you who are of Azorean background and travel there, if you take it there, it seems like it moves faster if it's turned into Portugal by hand instead of going through the mail or going through diplomatic sources. So for those of you thinking of traveling to Portugal in the next year or so and thinking about citizenship, that might be one thing that you might want to do. Hold off on sending the paperwork and take it with you and do it there. Another way is, why would people want the citizenship? Well, as I mentioned, there's many reasons. Some of them are because of reasons to do with the hearts, to do with the ethnic pride, with wanting to be something that you think your grandparents would be proud of. You know, hey, they were Portuguese citizens. That'd be kind of cool that I have the same citizenship as my grandfather, who came to this country and sacrificed himself, you know, or and became and worked really hard and offered me this opportunity to live in this land. So there's, of course, that's the major reason why many people want to. But there are some pragmatic reasons. So, for example, Portugal has, if you were a Portuguese citizen, when it comes to, and you own property there in Portugal, it's easier. So if you, in other words, inherited some property from grandparents or parents or whatever, it is easier for your Portuguese citizenship to sell that property or to update that property or to do any part of a legality to do with property. Also, if you're a student and you're going to study in Portugal and you're a Portuguese citizen, you don't pay. So basically, education is free in Portugal. You pay, well, you pay 950 euros, so $1,000 a year for tuition. So, and there are now actually breaks for those who are of Portuguese background, even if you're not a citizen. There are some breaks, and obviously at Fresno State, we're always looking for ways to get our students to do study abroad programs because that's such an enriching experience. But if you are a Portuguese citizen, if your mom and dad were born there and you also became a Portuguese citizen, you have the right to study in Portugal and do, if you did your bachelor's here, you can go do a grad school program in Portugal for basically $2,000, you know. So as far as tuition is concerned, so there's that benefit. If you travel to Portugal and you get sick, and you're a Portuguese citizen, Portugal has a national health service. So you don't pay, or you pay very little. And I'll give you an example, a practical example. I gotten sick in Portugal one time. I went to the hospital, to the emergency room. I was there for a test, and I left, and I paid 18 euros, or about $22. I'm a Portuguese citizen. You have to have a Portuguese address, you know, of course, and you pay $22. If you're not a Portuguese citizen, you have to, of course, show your insurance. Okay, it depends. Sometimes you have to pay for it. And then you have to bring back whatever the charge was, and your insurance will reimburse you. Some insurances reimburse you. Some of them, you know, ask questions, you know, but some of them do, some of them don't. It depends on the type of health insurance that you have. And a friend of mine was telling me that for folks who are seniors and have Medicare, that Medicare does not pay a lot of times abroad in certain countries. So, so there's that benefit. So there are people I know who live like 3 months in Portugal or go to Portugal for 6 weeks. You never know. If you have a Portuguese citizenship, your health, I mean, there's even people kind of abusing the system. I was told of a gentleman who went to Portugal to do a hip replacement because here it was going to cost him a little bit of money. And the hip replacement in Portugal cost him $27. And so he's a Portuguese citizenship, you know, a Portuguese citizen. So he went to Portugal, stayed with his sister's house. This is a true story. He, you know, did his hip replacement. Was there a couple of months, or I believe almost 3 months, and did his hip replacement, and it cost him a whole $27. Now, so for some of these things that are non-emergency related, you have to wait. So in his case, he had to go there and, you know, see a doctor. doctor, and they put him on a waiting list. And about 3 months later, you know, he got, you know, the information he was going to get, scheduled a trip to Portugal, and did it. So there's folks are doing that. There's also some tax reasons. You know, some people, if you're a Portuguese citizen, you get some tax breaks. If you're a Portuguese citizen and you live in the Azores with an Azorean address, you pay less for an airline ticket between the Azores, the islands, and you pay less between the islands and Portugal. Okay, so there's a significant break there. So there are some other very good benefits with that as well. But obviously, most people do it because of reasons of the heart. It is an interesting process. I know there's lots of Portuguese Americans thinking about it. If you have any questions, please get a hold of me, or you can go on the website of the Portuguese Consul General of Portugal in San Francisco, and they have all the information that you need. And we are upon our break. So when we come back, we will do our poem, our new segment, A Portuguese City, and of course, we will have also our community calendar and another song from Emily. We'll be right back with the final third edition of the, or segment that is, of this edition of the Portuguese American Hour.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour. I'm Justice Neves. With me, as always, Dennis Borges. If you missed our first two segments, we were speaking about gaining Portuguese citizenship, you know, with your either parents being born here or your grandparents being born here.
That's right. Correct. All the nitty gritty. So, probably more than you ever wanted to know, but now you know.
It's a lot of very useful information for our listeners, for
yeah.
sure.
And so. The good thing, of course, is our Portuguese American Hour is also archived on our website as a podcast. So, if you listen to it and you know a friend who is needing this information, so please just check on www.multicultural1600am.com mm-hmm. and go to the Portuguese American Hour, their little icon, and you'll see all of our programs archived there, and you can listen to this one from today's date. Our poem of the week, or our poem for this session, is called Inscription. It is by a poet by the name of Cecilia Meirelles. Cecilia is Brazilian with ancestors from the Azores. Her grandmother was from the island of São Miguel in the Azores, immigrated to Brazil. Inscription. I'm between flower and cloud, star and sea. Why should we be just human, limited to crying? I can't find roads easy to walk upon. My dissimilar face misleads the stable rocks that are unaware of water and air. That's why I levitate. It's good to leave a bit of tenderness and charm, independently of heritage, in each place. Trail of flower and star, cloud and sea. My destiny is further and my step much faster. It's the shadow that goes slower. Inscription by Cecilia Meirelles, a Brazilian poet, a poet from Brazil, whose maternal grandmother was from the islands of the Azores. She's actually considered an Azorean poet. She touches on a lot of different topics about being from island, from different islands, being an islander, insular topics, as well as topics having to do with ancestry from those islands. And from our poem, we are going to this very new segment that we'd like to bring to you about once a week or so from the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at Fresno State, and that is A Portuguese City. We're going to talk a little bit about a Portuguese city every single week, and today we have to start with Lisbon, because Lisbon is the capital of Portugal. Why would you not start with Lisbon? It's a beautiful city. I've been to Lisbon myself, I don't know, maybe about 10 or 12 times, and I love it, and every time I go I discover something new. But here's a couple of things that to consider. Lisbon is known as, obviously, it's the capital of Portugal. It's a large city. It is now being discovered by all of Europe. I used to go to Lisbon, not see a lot of people. Now you see all the groups with little flags and everybody following them, just like any tourist city that you see. It's almost becoming like Rome or any of those major European capitals that people love to visit. And that's great, obviously, for the tourism industry in Portugal. But there are some things besides the Mosteiro dos Jerónimos, the monastery, besides the all the different monuments, the wonderful architecture. There's a site that says keep calm and admire the Portuguese pavement, and I would encourage you to do that when you're in Lisbon. Look at the calçada, which is the pavement, the stones. It's the name of the traditional Portuguese pavement that you can find throughout Lisbon and other Portuguese cities, but it's very, very known in Lisbon. Beautiful. There are plenty of different and original patterns, and while it's not easy to walk on, especially for ladies with high heels, it's pretty to admire and pretty easy to admire, and it's something a lot of people don't pay any attention to. Another aspect of Lisbon, if you're ever there, visit the National Coach Museum. It is popular for some people, unpopular for others. It was inaugurated in 1905. It's located in Bulang, the one region of the city. And has a marvelous collection of coaches that belong to the Portuguese royal family. So we talked about monarchy here a few programs ago. Among the rare items inside the Museu Nacional dos Coches, or the National Coach Museum, you can find coaches that belong to kings, to queens, and also to some popes. It's a beautiful museum. It doesn't take a lot of time to see it. It's wonderful. Drink ginginha. And what is ginginha? That's a liqueur from cherry liqueur called ginginha. It explodes in your mouth, especially if you drink it in a chocolate glass, okay? And you drink the glass and all. But drink ginginha. Once you're in Lisbon, you must drink a ginginha. Unless you don't do any alcohol at all. But if you don't do any, or do very little alcohol, you can just do the ginginha and chase it with some water. Have coffee with Fernando Pessoa, the famous Portuguese poet. Go to one of the oldest cafes in downtown Lisbon, named the Brasileira, and have coffee with the statue of Fernando Pessoa, one of the great poets of Portugal. They're sitting there, there's a chair beside him, and he's sitting like right there, and you can sit there and put your coffee there and have coffee with Fernando Pessoa.
You really, really can.
Yeah. I'm showing it. Yeah. Have lunch at Mercado da Ribeira, which is the inside the most traditional and main food market in Lisbon. You'll find timeout at Mercado da Ribeira. It was created, the timeout area is created in 2010. It has more than 30 small restaurants and kiosks offering some very great food at some very, very reasonable prices. And try a pastel de Belém with coffee. Look at these, Justice. You gotta like custard pastries. This traditional egg tart pastry or cream tart pastry was named, it's the cream tart, the 15th most tasty delicacy in the world. By some European magazines. You can't leave Lisbon without trying that. And of course, listen to some fado, which we've been promoting it here on the Portuguese American Hour. So, some things to do in Lisbon, and some things a must, some things some people don't have on their list, but definitely look at the pavement, definitely go to the Museum of the Coaches, and a few other things. Lisbon, a wonderful city to discover, a Portuguese city. Next segment, we'll be talking about a city in the Azores. But before we go to our community calendar, which is our absolute last segment on the Portuguese American Hour, let's take another musical break. Let's listen to another song by our friend Emily, our musical invitee for this edition. And the song is called Namorar à Janela, or Courting by the Window. Years ago, you didn't date in the Azores or in mainland Portugal. You went to see your girlfriend at her house and she was inside the window. She'd open the window and you talked, so whatever. And anyway, but it's called Namorar à Janela, Courtship at the Window. Our friend Emily.
Perguntei a ele.
Perguntei a ela.
Qual a razão? Os namorados falavam à janela. Eles nos disseram: não entendo a ideia. Vê se hoje em dia até fazem folia e noite lua cheia. Quem isto inventou, de certeza pensou que a tempestade que os ia separar, nem vento pode levar. Amor de verdade. Quem isto inventou, talvez imaginou, esta era a solução. Até o último
solução. De qualquer maneira, no teto és do chão, ninguém tem a razão de apagar a fogueira. E seja entre quem for, o amor nem tem idade. Um beijo proibido até tem mais sentido, dado de bondade. Quem isto inventou, de certeza pensou que a tempestade que os ia separar, nem vento pode levar um amor de verdade. Quem isto inventou, talvez imaginou que esta era a solução. Até o último andar, beijos tentavam chegar, coração a coração.
Our friend Emily with Namorar à Janela, her last song for this edition of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at Fresno State. And during the last 5 minutes of our show, we'd like to focus on the community calendar, some events with our Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute and the community in general. Do remember that here coming up in a few days, the Crab Chapino at TDS. I understand there's just a few tickets left, so if you did not get your ticket, make sure you talk to a director of the Portuguese Association, Talari Divino Espírito Santo, TDES. The funds from all the proceeds from this event are to help with the expenses of the festa that will be held, the Holy Ghost festa that will be held in June. And the Chapino is basically this coming Friday, so a week from this coming Friday. And also talk a little bit about the Portuguese Soup Festival, Portuguese Soup Extravaganza of the Tulare Angra Sister City Foundation, coming up on February in the 8th. Also at the TDS Hall in the South Valley in Tulare. Doors open at 6. The soups are served at 7. 4 different soups, all you can eat. 2 different kinds of bread. Lots of different desserts. A dessert table at the end. Water, iced tea, lemonade, and coffee. Tickets are $20, and all the proceeds are for the exchange program between the University of the Azores, the Ag Campus in the island of Terceira, and the Jordan College of Agricultural Science and Technology at Fresno State. We have 5 students visiting for this month of this coming month of February. Visiting, I should say visiting. They're visiting, but they're working. They'll be doing an internship of a month. And then hopefully in the summer, just like last summer, we'll have maybe 3 or 4 students, at least 3, we hope 4, attend the same thing, doing an internship in the Azores. And so we need funds because we pay for the airline ticket for the students, and we have some help with the lodging. And so it's a free program for the students, so it's a heck of an opportunity, but we need your help. Buy a ticket and help the Tulare Angra Sister City Foundation raise some funds for this worthwhile cause. Also, if you need some free money, those of you who are students, high school students going to college, remember the Tulare County Cabrillo Club is taking applications. So check online, cabrilloclub.org, for the scholarships, and lots of different scholarships available. Also, the Luso American Education Foundation is also giving scholarships to high school seniors, especially those who have taken Portuguese in high school. So if you're at a high school that offers Portuguese and you've had at least 2 years of the language, you can qualify for a scholarship from the Luso American Education Foundation. And go online, lusoamerica.org, and get that information as well. And our first lecture of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute on February the 12th, the Secretary of Agriculture from the Azores will be here, and it will be at the AgOne Foundation Jordan College Conference Room at 6 o'clock. We'll have more details on future episodes of the Portuguese American Hour. It's time to say goodbye, right, Justice? I think yep. they want us to leave.
Now we're coming up on it, yeah. Our last minute or so.
Yeah, I see the door opening for me. So thank you all for being with us. Thank you all for being part of this experience. Thank you all for being part of this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. Thank you, Justice, our most awesome producer in the whole wide universe, not just here in California, here at the radio station, but in the whole wide universe, okay?
Thank you.
Maybe even the entire galaxies, everything, all the galaxies. Anyway, so thank you, Justice, and thank you all for being with us. It is a pleasure to produce and it is a pleasure to present this to you from both Justice and my part. The Portuguese American Hour is a unique experience. We hope you're enjoying the show. We hope you enjoy the information. And if you have any comments, please address them to us. If they're positive comments, you send them to me. If they're negative comments, you send them to Justice, right?
Yep, I'll take all those.
No, any kind of comment. Thank you all again, and we'll see you on the next edition of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at Fresno State. See you next time. Thank you.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.